You be seated. I ain't seen y'all in a while, huh?
Hallelujah.
You be seated.
Thank you, sir.
I want to talk about how you've been reading the scripture. John 5:39 says, "Search the scripture." We've been reading that, right? But how have you been searching? Because if you search the wrong way, you won't find what you need to find. Right? Because there's a right way to search, wrong way to search. Can't find your keys. Right? Now, you can be walking around your house looking for them, right? You're searching for them, right? But if your eyes are closed, right? I can still say you're searching, though. You're just not searching properly. Right? You're looking, but you're not looking the right way. And so it's important how you approach the scripture. The first thing I want to tell you is you have to approach it as if you don't know it. You ever heard the statement, familiarity breeds contempt? And when we become familiar, it's funny, familiar and family in the same word definition, but when you become familiar with something, you begin to take it for granted sometimes.
Right.
Come on, y'all know that we do it with our family members sometimes. I have to remind myself, don't take it with Apostle, and see, I call him Apostle, I could call him Dad. Because
right.
He's literally, I know everybody be calling him Dad in the spirit. No, he my daddy, like blood, like, right? He's like daddy, like dad. If ain't nobody else say daddy, I can say daddy, right?
Right.
And I call him Dad, and we talking amongst ourselves. I don't be around the house talking about Apostle. I do it when I need to, you know. But I've made myself have a relationship where I don't take him for granted. I'm speaking of a principle. It's not just this is not just about him, but it's a principle underlying this. That I don't become familiar with him, because when you become familiar with something, you can't receive from it. You can receive, but you won't receive everything that you need to receive. Oh, that's just daddy. Oh, that's just Reverend such and such. Oh, that's just what, and that may be where the word comes for you at that particular moment. And you won't hear it because you can't receive it because you're familiar. So, do we study the word? Yes. Right? Do we learn it? Yes. But my approach to it every time has to be like it's the first time. And I'll prove it to you in a couple things in a couple minutes. We'll quote some of our favorite scriptures and see if we got them right. But our approach means everything. Now, you know, we've been taught in charismatic church to look for revelation knowledge and look for the deep things. But you ain't swimming in the kiddie pool yet. Jump off the deep end. No, you better wade in the water, right? And it's become, you just got to listen to me, okay? It's become more fantasy than reality. So now, I was reading just a little while ago, and it says, watch this. You know, we've been looking for signs and wonders. He said, y'all can observe when the sun come up and tell me what time it is, and when the clouds are lowering. He said, but you can't discern what signs of the times? He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. And now you're looking for magic. You're looking for super magic in the name of Jesus. Right? You want me to show you another scripture, but you hadn't learned to read. Right? Reading. Right? Let's go to basics. Like the actual language of English, right? Reading, right? Well, you had to learn, what you learned first? On your alphabet, A, B, C, D, we learned this all, right? We learned the alphabets, and we took those alphabets and began to place them in a certain order that formed words. And we start with three-letter words, bed, red, cat, dog, right? Because they were easy to sound out. Then a little later on in life, some words we still ain't got yet, right? We're working on it, though, right? But it comes from a building place and a root. It comes from a root. And I found out John chapter 15, when he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Because we hear branches, we immediately go to trees. But the vine, when he speaks of the vine, he's not talking about a tree trunk. He's talking about the threshing floor. Mm-hmm. He's talking about where it all begins, where the seed is making roots but cracking ground at the same time. Because everything doesn't grow on a tree. And just because it's not in a tree on a tree trunk like you normally think doesn't mean it's not a branch. Because a branch is an outshot of the original thing. Right? So we go back to the root of things. And so I cannot make you understand, I cannot ask for a sentence if you don't know the letters. You don't know how to read words. How can you read more or less a paragraph than a story than a book and then read it to somebody else? You got to go back to the roots of the letters. You get it? And I'm not talking about the letters like the letters of Ephesians. I'm talking about just letter. I'm just making a point. Back to the root. And so we're asking for the phenomenal, and we hadn't done the simple. And I'll tell you, supernatural is not in the Bible. The word supernatural is not in there. Front to back. Front to back, you're not going to find the word supernatural. We learn by the book. Front to back, you're not going to find the word supernatural. Where we get that from? And we call it? Right, so now it's not normal to you no more. I heard somebody say, to us to be supernatural, to God is natural. Because it's who he is. And it's who. If I keep telling you it's super, you're looking for Superman. Yeah. Didn't you think Jesus was Superman? Yeah, y'all did. You ain't think he was fast as a speeding bullet and all that. Like, but you thought he was superhuman. You thought he was superhuman, but then Jesus says, Lord, if you can't let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless not. But are we to conclude that Jesus had a different will than God at that moment? Not. So now he's comparing wills. I love it. I love it. I love Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But he sends him in the same flesh as you for the same, and condemns sin in the flesh. So in other words, the things that you could have failed at, he could have failed at them too. But he showed his struggle with them. Lord, if you can. He went in three times. Lord, if you can't, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will. So, we've overcomplicated things. He told me the other day, right. We write the vision. Do what with it? To write it. And then make it what? And then what it says after that? Run and read it, right? So it's automatic. See, a lot of things about God, it's simple. Everybody say it's simple. Come on, say, I'm one with God. It's just that simple. Come on, say, it's just that simple. I'm one with God. Now stop trying to figure out if you're good enough. That has nothing to do with you. Surrender. Surrender. Render means to give yourself up, and serve means to something above. So the key is, that's why he said crucify, deny yourself. He who gain his life is going to lose it. He who loses his life, he's trying to get you to surrender. And that's how easy it is. It's not in your prayer. Your prayers lead you to surrender. Your praise lead you to surrender. I give up. Easy. Everybody say easy. Jesus says my yoke is easy. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. I'm not all just complicated in the mind. You blind? Spit in the dirt, put it in your eye, go wash. Simplicity. Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians. He said, I'm nervous that you, through subtlety, the serpent has beguiled you and deceived you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Say it simple. Write the vision, make it. So the reason ain't nobody running because it's too complicated. Because, all right, let's do the opposite. My apostle taught me when I was younger. He said, well, you want to learn some scripture sometime? Say the opposite sometime. You'll see what it means. You can find the meaning of the opposite. So write the vision. Make it plain that he that read it to run with it. So don't write the vision. Keep it complicated. Ain't nobody moving. All right, come on, let's go. Come on, let's get to the first part. You got step one, write the vision, right? But you done wrote it so complicated, sound like the law, that I can't even run. It's too difficult. Write the vision, make it. What's the opposite of plain? And really, what he's saying to you is, you write the vision. Write the vision, but write. R-I-G-H-T. Write your vision. Like, make your vision right. So you don't have the right vision right now. Come on, y'all got to get with me. We're about to stop. We're going to slow down. Look, I was trying to say that we look for these deep things, but we hadn't slowed down to see the things that are given to us already. And inside of those are our deep things. But the deep things are really right there. The disciples could not understand what Jesus was saying because they was looking for something more complicated. And they grew up in the complication, the law. You know what I'm saying? The school, the Judaism that they grew up in, there's a lot of stuff they had to. So when the Messiah comes, they're expecting complication. John the Baptist didn't walk with Jesus, although he paved the way for him. Look at it. John was gone. Seemed like John should have been paved the way for Jesus. Like, you should have joined the church, right? Or joined the caravan, right? John gone. Because John says he's going to purge the floor with you. And Jesus says, turn the other cheek. It's too simple. It's too good to be true. It's too good to be true, this man said, the meek shall inherit the earth. What? It's too easy. No, we got a war going on right now. Meek. Be meek. No, we got to learn how to fight. We looking for a king to come on a horse with a sword. Do you see the flip? Everybody say flip. See the flip. If you flip it over a little bit, you'll see so much more. Don't assume. Stop assuming what the word of God says about what somebody told you. Go for yourself. Sometimes it's rhyme because Apostle be doing this, so I get different rhymes. Go for yourself and slow for yourself. All right? Go slowly through the scriptures for yourself. Because you should know the truth and the truth of what? What you said? It gonna do what? Yeah. Say make you, but would you immediately say what? Yeah, be honest about it. Yeah, because we didn't heard that for so long. It gonna set you free. It ain't gonna set you free. The scripture says make you free. What's your name? So if I called you Virgil, does that matter? Virgil, does that matter? Am I calling your name? It makes it important that I say Virgil, right? The letters matter. Because that's character, the name, the character. If I say something else that even rhymes with you, you may look, but you don't know if I'm calling you. So it matters, set and make. Our Father. Come on. Hallowed be thy name. Come on, keep going. Y'all trying to look for the word now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Somebody said honor. Somebody said honor. You said on earth? Yeah, because that's what we've been saying, huh? You don't say on. I remember preaching Prosperity Revival years back. It was about 4 or 5 years back, maybe not that long. And I remember I saw it, and I screamed. I screamed because I slowed down. This is a Lord's Prayer. Close my eyes, say it. Our Father, whatever. Right? Yeah, go look. No, you're wrong. Go ahead. I want to know. That's good. See, hold on. That's what you got to do. Search the scriptures. You see? There's an I in, huh? Now watch the difference. On versus in. See, on earth, we thought he was about to come in and the Spirit of God is going to float over the... He already did it already. The Spirit of God already floated over the dark of the water and created the heavens and earth. Right? In earth. Who the earth? What you made out of? Yeah. Now it changed, don't it? Now heaven is in me. Woo! Right? Go for yourself. I don't care what I say. Go, and I pride myself on saying the right thing to you. Go for yourself. Because when you go for yourself, you get it for yourself. And that's the good thing that can't be. See, yeah, you can take my words away from you. Everybody looking for a prophecy. Prophesy to me. Give me a word. Y'all the word. And when you know that, when you know that you are the living word, can't nobody take that from you. Say your name. Say it again. Can I change your mind about that? You sure? Could I talk to you long enough to make you think, nah, that's not really who you are? No, can't take it away from you, can I? Exactly, because that's your name. It's your identity. It's your character. When you find out who you are, your identity, your character, it can't be taken away from you. The reason the things that have been taken from you can be taken from you because they wasn't your character. Or you didn't know it was you. So you were quoting what Apostle said. And you ain't taking it for yourself. They said, we come cast these demons out in the name of the one that Jesus and Paul and Peter. He said, Jesus I know, Paul I know. Well, who the hell are you? As I like to say, who? And they whooped them out their clothes. Because you go up there talking about what somebody's secondhand information. Just go back to the root. Go for yourself. Everybody say, go for yourself. Come on, say it again. Go for yourself. Come on, say it one more time. Say, go for yourself. Because when you go for yourself, you see the simplicity that is in the scripture. I found out the other day, the woman caught in adultery. She wasn't caught at all. She was taken in adultery. The scripture says it. That gives a whole other connotation right now. She was taken. That means she could have been dragged in against her will. Which meant somebody had to take her. So now go and sin no more has a whole other connotation now. The story didn't change, hasn't it? One word. We need a word from the Lord, right? Yeah, one word. You looking for another word. The word is nigh you. There's another one that say nigh too. He said, draw nigh. And I the simplicity. Jesus didn't pray, John 17, he didn't pray for anything. We're living by the book, so this is really searching the scriptures. And see, you're missing a lot because it's lost in translation. It's not that it's not in there, but it's lost in translation. Because religion assumes. There's an old phrase, and I won't use it, but they say assuming makes a out of you and me. You get it? Because you assume that you know a thing. So now, they got what you call capping. This is a new thing in the streets. They say stop, no cap. They say like you capping, like you fronting, like you saying like you know something, but you don't really know it. Are you saying you got something, but you ain't really got? Are you saying you somebody, but you capping, right? And a lot of the way that we read scriptures is capping. Because we don't really have it. We've taken a secondhand narration of it. See, the narrator determines how you receive the story. So you got to go for yourself. Everybody say, go for yourself. Come on, say it again. Go for yourself. Come on, say it again. Go for yourself. See, this is what Jesus was teaching. Jesus always taught to go for yourself. Now, you call me good. Ain't nothing good but God. Ain't nothing good but one. Now, he said one. I had to get that right, because I always said, ain't nothing good but God. He didn't say that. He said, why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but God. That's what we normally say, right? No, he said, ain't nothing good but. That makes a difference now. Because I pray that y'all be one with it. Changes the connotation. So y'all, we don't know the Bible. Woo! I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it, because it keeps it fresh. Approach it like it's new. Approach it like it's brand new to you. Now, if you've been in the church for any time over 4 or 5 years, you've been indoctrinated in some things and some ideas and some ways that some scriptures go, and they don't even go that way. Even the one we read up here, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And I would always say, but they tested, but the, it ain't no but. It says, and they. So in other words, he's not saying separate. It's a process.
How do you view reading the Bible in a different translation?
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. I'll read the message. I got a cool one called The Passion. I like The Passion. I found one the other day was talking about the Bible in plain English. I loved it. I was reading it because I think about doing some reading for some kids, and I did a little audio book for them. But I'm with it. But I always refer back to the King James, not religiously, but because it usually has the furthest back connotation or the first translation from Hebrew and Greek to what we speak as English. A lot of that is lost in translation. Now, what I do like is the Strong's. Get the Strong's. If y'all get it on your phone, it's easier for me to have on my phone, because what I can do right now is, for instance, have you ever done any study on the Sadducees and Pharisees? Right? Most of us haven't. We don't even know who they are. We just think they hate us. They the ones just trying to kill Jesus. Well, you got to know the Pharisees, they were just strict. They wanted to be glorified because of their duty. And they wanted to be separated. They wanted to be distinct. They didn't want to be one. They love your neighbor as yourself. They didn't want to do that. You better go get it on your own. Sadducees ain't believing nothing. Sadducees ain't believing no angels. They ain't believing no resurrection of the body. They ain't believe none of that. But it's funny how those two come together to try to stop Jesus. Get it? But what I do is in my when I'm in my Strong's Bible, I can hit it, and it gives me like the leaven. Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. What does that mean? Right? Well, you can try to have context clues and come up with your own thing or what the most recent preacher said. And you don't even know. So I hit it. Leaven. What's leaven? What's the Hebrew leaven? And it starts talking about a boiling, a fermenting, right? But then it says, it refers to a zeal. So now Jesus is telling them, beware of their hot pursuit of their rituals. Because they're consistent. And they're diligent. And they're committed. But you can be consistent, diligent, and committed to the wrong thing. And plenty of others. And us sometimes. Right? Well, instead of being consistent, committed, and diligent to I am one with God, saying. Now, why is that we had to be reminded of that? Versus, you know what time church start? And what time prayer start? Right? You got all them down. Nobody's remind you of those. I gotta remind you one with God. And that's the simplest part. That fills those things, not the other way around. See, ritual, the law was leading to Jesus. It was trying to lead to holiness. But the law could not do it, and that is weak through the flesh. You one law make you break another law. Like the actual law made you break another one. It couldn't do it. So it's leading to Jesus. It's leading to the oneness. And when Jesus gets here, he says, hey, listen, you're one with the Father. The works that I do, just believe me. Right? But then now, after Jesus, we continue in our ritual. And we get further and further away, so now we become professionals at rituals and unprofessional at being. And being is the easiest thing to be. Let me think about it. Be. Everybody say be. Be. Come on. Everybody say just be. Yeah, and say this. Say shut up. Talk to yourself. Don't talk to nobody else. Don't look at your neighbor for this one. You know, we be like, look at your neighbor and tell him shut up and be. No. Look at yourself and tell yourself to shut up and be. Next time you're nervous or worried about something, shut up and be, because you're going to say something that's going to create something that ain't even there. That's the life and the power of your tongue. Listen, so if you're one with God, that means you have the same way God speaks, the same way you speak. Shut up and be. You start thinking about one with God, and we start, I got to know, I want to learn so many things. Well, that's what happened in the beginning. Tree of life. Simple. Boom. Tree of life. Whoop. Tree of life. Then you got the tree of knowledge of good, and it got complicated even saying it. And it don't tell you what to do with the knowledge. And immediately now it's just difficult. And now you think you got to know all these things. But who guides you in all truth? The Holy Spirit. Teach you how many things? And the Holy Spirit is in you. He's not floating around you. He can be around you, but he's definitely in you. Come on, listen. That's what I'm saying. He said, Jesus tell him, go, y'all go. And don't take no script or no purse. Take no money and no notes. I ain't got no notes. I ain't got no notes. I actually have never had notes in this class. I actually can't remember the last time I used notes. I'm not saying, I don't care about that. I'm not patting myself on the back. I asked the Holy Spirit a long time ago. I was scrambling because we learn God out of fear. How can you learn the love of God out of fear? We're attempting to learn the love of God out of fear and out of scarcity. We think he's going to say that word right there. And if you don't catch it right now, you're going to miss the wave. That's why we like to talk about waves of the anointing. Oh, waves of revival. Right? No, it just is. God is. Say it.
God is.
So watch this. You're in such a miss the moment. So now you go to that city to they had the Brownsville revival. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all remember that. Because the revival break out, so we got to go over there because the presence of God is over there. The whole trip, you going over there and you quoting, great as he that is. But I got to go over there to get to. I want y'all to understand something. Right? It's not about going over there or not going over there. It's about knowing that it's already. And anywhere that I go, I have to be led from. Not going to get something to put. You know, I receive. What you receiving? Y'all said that. We said that in church sometime, right? What you receiving? Now, if you don't know what you're receiving, if you don't know what you're receiving, you receive a lot of stuff. I just receive. But if you don't know what you're saying, you don't get it. Now, am I receiving more understanding of what I already have? Or am I thinking that I'm getting something from somewhere else? Slow down. Keep it simple. It's a kiss. You know what kiss stood for, huh? Keep it simple, stupid. I said keep it simple, son. We've overcomplicated it. And so we've overcomplicated our reading of the scripture. And we be looking for something that ain't even there. And it's, frustration sets in. Yes, frustration sets in, and then you like, Lord, I thought you were going to come through. And now you start questioning God. Then you start crying out, Lord. Right? You see people crying out in church. I ain't saying nothing about people crying out in church. Sometimes they're crying out of desperation. I don't like them songs that say, I'm desperate for you. I don't sing those. If y'all ever see me in church and I'm not singing, don't judge me, okay? But I'm just working on my oneness with God. So anything that's breeding separation, I'm not going to partake. I like them. They sound good. They feel good. But I'm not about to say that. Y'all won't say that part. I'll make my own words.
Right.
I'm one with you. I ain't desperate for you. Desperate means destitute. I'm one without no hope. That ain't who I am. Say it, that ain't who I am. So I changed my function. And you have to be willing. Y'all ready? Joshua, all those same word, right? Same name. Means he who saves, right? You know what Mary means? One connotation of Mary is water. Second one is, you ready for this? It's rebellion. He who saves is born from. rebellion, good or bad? Go, answer me quick. Rebellion, good or bad? Bad. How? Okay, I got y'all in slavery. We down south. We in the down south. Slavery. You want to do what? Rebel. Bad or good? Good, get up out of here. Rebellion depends on what you're rebelling against. So at this particular time, he who saves is born from rebellion against the powers that be at the moment. That's keeping you in bondage. That's keeping you as a second-rate human being. As a rebellion against the powers that already be that aren't making the progress, that are denying the power that's in us already. So he who saves is born from rebellion birth. Oh my God! And I said you can't. I said you can't take this out of context. Right. Don't take, get my message and cut this little part out because you won't get the context of what I'm saying before and after, right? But salvation is breeded from rebellion. Get it? The process of it. So we slow down. We start doing research. You know why we're living by the book, right? Why did they flip over? Why Jesus got mad and flipped over tables? Great. It's true. Now, can I go into some detail about it? They were selling the sacrifices. Now, watch the conflict of interest. There's a place I got to do. We're going to live by the book a little bit. John 11. Go real quick. I look at the clock. I'm trying to. So if I got time to do it, John chapter 11, I saw this morning. I got a little devotion I do. I read through the Gospels in 30 days. And I'm reading this. It's right after he raised Lazarus from the dead, right? We know that story, right? And notice also, and I want to make a point to you, that he never tells Mary or Martha that I'm coming to raise Lazarus up. Right. He immediately says, she said, I know you can do it. I know the resurrection. He said, no, I am the. So he never said, I'm coming to resurrect. He said, I. Because if I am, then what? Who I am will be. Right. You get it? Yeah. So I'm not going trying to do nothing. Right. I am. When I show up, everything that comes that's dead got to come alive. Because I am. It makes a difference. So we're reading, what is John 11? Let me get over there. And I'm saying this for a reason. What verse are we going to start in? Verse 47. So verse 45, they said, loose and let him go. And so Lazarus got up. They said, then many of the Jews came to Mary and had seen the things what Jesus did and believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees. Some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. So now verse 47. Then gathered the chief of priests and the Pharisees a council. So they got together and they said, what do we? What are we going to do? This man doeth many miracles, so now they got to admit it. You know, they're trying to act like but that was the final one. Like, he done a bunch of miracles, but now he done raised this man from the dead. Lord, like, that's the one. And that's the one that the Sadducees did not believe. They ain't believe in the resurrection of the body. Okay, so now he's really exposing us. And he says, if we leave him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Maybe read King James, men should be italicized. You see, it's kind of like leaning, the word, right? Sometimes when you see those italicized words, that means those are words that are added for English context, but you can take them out. So it really says, if we leave him thus alone, all will believe on him. Makes a difference, don't it? And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. So what is he saying? They're saying, if we let this man keep doing what he's doing, because see, yeah, because see, we're in cahoots with the Romans. Yeah. See, we as the high priests of the clergy are in cahoots with the government. And the government says, this is what we need you to do. We need you to keep preach a calm God. Keep putting your law on them. So they won't ever stand up and be nothing. And it's God. You know, they preach it to the slaves. They preach it to the slaves. Like this lady, I read about this lady, said she would not even read the epistles because they used the epistles so much to tell her that God's will was for her to be in slavery. Same principle, all right? So just keep them calm, keep them domiciled, keep them cool. Right. And we'll take care of y'all. Right. We'll make sure y'all prestigious. Right. We fatten your coffers. Right. We'll make sure y'all got everything y'all need. There's double standards. That's why, they say, well, how you doing the work on the Sabbath? Jesus, he said, well, if you had oxen caught up on the Sabbath day, would you not go get them out? Right. They would go get them out, but it's a double standard. Right. We can do it, but y'all can't. So now they'll come and take away our place and our nation. Now watch how this works. I saw this. Watch this. What he said. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest of that same year. So that year's high priest. Send them, you know nothing at all. Nor consider that it expedient for us that one man should die for the people. And that the whole nation perish not. So what he's saying is, it's better for us that one person die and we and he dies instead of they come and take a whole nation over. And watch this, it says, and this he spake not of himself. Well, who did he speak it of? It said, but being a high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation. And not for that nation, but that also he should gather together in what? One. The children of God that were scattered abroad. And then it says, from that day forth, they took counsel for to put him to death. So these people heard the prophecy and went to kill Jesus, not understanding what he was saying. Nor that they were fulfilling the prophecy. You get it? So I caught that today because they didn't even know. He's speaking of the Spirit of God. They don't even know what he's saying, but God used that to take them to go get him, to kill him. But if we all in the way with our smart selves, we're going to mess up the plan that God had a plan he can use however he want. But now go back. He said they're going to take our nation. They're going to take from us our what it says, take our place and nation. So now here's why Jesus, you flipping over tables. Ready? We're just living by the book. At the time of the Passover, the feast, and the festivals and everything, the people had to make a journey to Jerusalem, right? And you had to give a sacrifice. You don't know to go sacrifice. So here's the conflict. You ready for this? The same people that you're sacrificing to, which are the priests, were the same people that were selling you the sacrifice. So what happens is this. I'm the priest. I got my priest collar on, receiving sacrifice, right? Then I put my salesman cap on and I sell you the sacrifice, right? Now the sacrifice you get is determined on how much money you spend. The bigger your sacrifice, the bigger your sins covered. Some people only could afford a dove. All right. Not only was this going on, but while they're on the journey to Jerusalem for the Passover and everything, they changed the currency of the money. So now your dollar, I'm just using dollars right now, your dollar was only worth 50 cents. Come on, we just look around, right? I know I did. So now I'm selling it to you. Then I'll come around, and I am the one to say whether your sacrifice is acceptable or not. So now when you brought it to me, I'll say it ain't acceptable. So now you gotta go back and go buy from me again. And it may not be literally me, but it could be we in cahoots. A lot of business there. Nicorette. Y'all familiar with what Nicorette is, right? The little gum they're supposed to help you stop smoking, right? But they're owned by the cigarette company.
Well, it's nicotine that was in the same cigarette. It make no sense.
You get it? You see it? It's foolishness. Yeah. It happened right in front of your eyes. Yeah. So Jesus comes in and take a strap and start beating them. And flipping over tables because I had a problem with what y'all were doing at the time. First of all, it's a new thing to come anyway. We don't need no more sacrifice, right? Right. I'm the right. I'm a sacrifice, and you the sacrifice, right? You won't keep sacrificing these bulls. No, I need you. No bull.
No.
No more bull. You, right? Not that they, it's the process that they were used to. So it wasn't that he just was mad because, but you're misusing your, you're abusing your power.
Yeah.
And the people just going to do what it takes because you said God said. So they're going to do what you said because, so now we see why they're upset with Jesus. They want to take him that day. Why they're upset? Because Jesus starts saying, hey, yeah, he messed with that book. Listen, you ever want to find out why somebody got murdered? or somebody got killed. Come on, go down. Come on. You go through history. Let's go through a few people. Famous history. John F. Kennedy. Yes, money. Yes. Dr. Martin Luther King. Now watch this. Because, see, people thought it was because of civil rights. Do you even know what racism is? You know what racism is about? Racism ain't about the color of your skin. It's about preserving economics in my family line. I'll let my daughter marry her cousin before she marry you. So we can keep this. It's all about wealth. It wasn't even about, oh, it's going black gonna rub off. That's a narrative that they gave us. And some people really believe it. And saying nigga and honky and all that stuff like that. So, no, it ain't about none of that. It's about that. Everybody, me. We don't know where nothing come from. But it's that mindset. And so now they trace, so now Jesus starts to mess. I'm going to tell you, can I tell you how Jesus messes their money a lot? You turn water into wine. You done mess with the wine business, huh? Oh, we got to get him out of here. He turned water into wine. What if somebody believe him? Hold on, he starts saying stuff like this. He that believes on me, the works I do, you do also. That means you can do it too. So why I'm going to go to the, oh no, we got to kill him. He done fed all these 5,000, 15, it's really about 15,000 people. We'll give or take, because they just said the men, 5,000 men. So they had women and children there too, so. Right, and more children. So you're talking, it could be somewhere between 12 to 20,000 people. He done fed these people out here. And you know how much money we could have made at the market? You're messing with my money. Yeah, time is up, huh? I ain't know. Is this the last class for real? No. Huh? Next week, last class. Here, one more. Medical field. He out here healing people. So they ain't got to go to the physicians no more. You messing with my money.